Well, our special missionary guest for this morning is Scott Widman, who is a missionary with BCM in Northern Ireland. Interesting that Jim Ecker, of course, was serving with BCM, and we have quite a number of BCM missionaries that are part of our fellowship, and that's a good thing. Scott's here with his wife, Joanna, and their youngest daughter, Madison, and I think he might have something to say to us about Nate and Rachel as well, so that'll be good to hear as well. Scott, come on up here. Lord bless you.
Really, really grateful to be here this morning. Thank you so much for allowing me to come and share the work of BCM in Northern Ireland. We used to have a table in the back. James has taken it down to make room for his table. go figure. If there's anything left, there are some prayer cards and stuff back there on the table. So if you want to remember us, be reminded, you can take one of those, put it on the fridge, stick it in your Bible. Don't forget it. You could open it up and remember to pray for us and what we're doing there. I'm a bit jet-lagged. We only arrived here last night from Northern Ireland. And when we went to bed, it was about 11 o'clock here. So if anybody knows what the time difference is, it was five hours. Yeah. So it was like 4 o'clock in the morning by the time we went to bed our time in the UK. So we got a very full 4 hours sleep. We're feeling bright and cheery. Where am I again? Where am I? Of course not. I do have some updates in the time that I have allotted to me. I have a few things I want to talk about. In a way of a bit of update is what I'm going to do first, and I'm going to share a few things that the Lord has put in my heart from His Word this morning. So I want to give you a bit of an update on Nate and Rachel. And here it is. They're doing good. Next. They're doing great. They're doing really, really well. I'm so, so pleased. I'm thankful to God for them. And how it's amazing when I had met with them. Joanna and I met with them there a couple weeks ago, and we sat in a cafe and had coffee and tea and just chatted about where they've come in such a short period of time. And I was like, yeah, you guys are, you know, pretty much coming up to a year now. And they're like, what? It's only been like 5 months or something. You know, it was such a short time. And I thought, that's amazing, all that God has done in such a short time. When they first came to Northern Ireland, they felt like things were moving very, very slowly for them. Nothing's happening, and I spent a lot of time with them, helping them get sorted. But they have a house, they have a car, they have a phone, they have a church. So much is going on, and they've had a full summer of ministry, which is great. And now they're looking forward to their plans for the future. And just little by little by little by little, we just see God opening the doors. So this morning, I want you to rejoice with me in what God's doing in their life. The relationships that they've been building through the summer, through the different summer ministries we've had. They did a couple weeks of summer camp. They did a couple weeks of community outreach. And so they've been out and about meeting lots and lots of young people, which is great. That's where their heart is, in discipleship with young people. That's where their heart is. And so we in BCM really wanted to try to plug them in to where their heart is. If that's where God's working, then our job is to kind of direct them and give them advice and work them into that area. And to say this morning that God is doing that would be an understatement, because God's doing a great work there. We look forward to what God's going to do with them this autumn. I met with them, and they have plans are in full swing to start some Bible studies, some discipleship groups, and we're very, very excited to see. The only thing I'm really sad about is I'm not going to be there for the next few months, because we're going to be in the States until December, that I won't be there through the whole autumn time to see how things are going. But there's an update on Nate and Rachel. Praise the Lord, they're doing great. A bit of a camp update. Many know that I'm no longer with the camp. I have stepped down after 16 years as director of Mullertown House in Northern Ireland. Very sad. And someone asked me, do you miss it? And I say, yes, you know, I miss all the fun. I certainly miss all the people. I miss working with the groups. I miss, as we say in Northern Ireland, all the crack. I miss all of that. I definitely don't miss all the paperwork and responsibility. Whew, I think that was starting to really get to me and making me sick, to be honest. You know, it was just really the responsibility, the weight of all that was starting to wear on me, and I just really sensed the Lord's timing for us to step down, for me to step down from the directorship role of Mullertown House. But God has provided my co-workers, put them in the place of responsibility now. It's Jem and Jason. I don't know if you had a chance. They were here in the States a couple years ago, if you had a chance to meet them or not. My co-workers there are now running the camp. And things are going very, very well there. And they added a brand new week of camp. So instead of 7 weeks, we have now 8 weeks, and they had about 550 campers this summer, 8 full weeks of camp. So praise the Lord. In one of those weeks, now get this, someone was saying about death unto life, right? In one of those weeks, 13 young people came to know the Lord. 13 young people. Is that amazing? Is God at work? What do you say? Amen. That is amazing. In a brand new week of camp, 13 young people came to know the Lord. So our prayers now are that they will be discipled and that they will continue to grow in their faith and that they will grow to be young men and young women of God. That's our goal for that. Another exciting thing has happened at camp. I don't know if Nate and Rachel got to tell you. And probably when I was here last, I told you about our vision for a gym, a sports hall. Praise the Lord. It's all there in place. I should have had a picture for you. I'm a little disappointed. But I have one here on my iPad, and I can show it to you afterwards. The sports hall was opened in May of 2017. So it's been built. It's been a couple years in the making and praying and fundraising, and the Lord has it almost paid off. And so I'm really, really rejoicing over seeing this sports hall go up. As you know, it rains once in a while in Northern Ireland. So there was a real need for that sports hall. So it's opened and going now. So along with a brand new week of camp, the sports hall is going, and that's a bit of an update on the camp that's there. Now, a bit of update for ourselves. A lot has happened with us. It's been 1 year now since I've stepped down in my role, and I've taken a new role with BCM. And it sounds fancy, but what's in a name? My new title with BCM is Ministries Director for BCM Northern Ireland. And what that means is I sort of have a three-pronged responsibility. One is ministry management is one of my new roles. I'm there to look after whatever BCM is doing in Northern Ireland. That's my responsibility. Whether it's schools work, teacher training, Bible clubs, community outreach, the camp, all of that is my job to make sure that's going well and to encourage future growth as best we can, to provide some leadership there and give advice. So that's part of my job. Number two is ministry development. As God gives vision, pow, my job is to see it happen. If we can make it happen, if we see God moving, then it's my job to kind of push things and make it happen. And that's a very challenging role, isn't it? You think about that in a church and you try to get things started is one thing. Trying to do that on the standard of Northern Ireland is a different thing altogether. It can be very, very difficult, very tricky. So would really appreciate your prayers for that, to see future work developed in Northern Ireland. And the third part of that is the management of people. And that means full-time workers, that means volunteers. When we first went to Northern Ireland, poor Joanna and myself, we were the only BCM missionaries in Northern Ireland. Woo-hoo-hoo. Praise the Lord today. There are seven. That's growth, isn't it? Seven full-time workers now. Isn't that brilliant? And there's a lot going on. And I just think every time we take a step forward, God bless us. Every time we move forward and we see just the growth, God opened up so many doors, it's exploding. Every time we add a new worker, I think, God's not given us a worker to sit on a bench. He doesn't give us somebody else to do work just to sit there and we can play cards together. God gives us a new worker because he has something new for us to do. Amen? There's things to do. And every time God gives us a new worker, more work comes along the way. More schools are opening up, more opportunities in community, more Bible studies, more young people's groups. There's a lot going on. I can hardly keep up with it. So maybe the pressure of my new job is going to force me back out again. It's amazing all that is going on. But leaving the camp also meant we had to leave our home. So we left the home at the camp, and now we live in a little bungalow in the village. We've become one of the village people. Yeah. Now, that's my role. That's changed quite a bit. A lot has happened there. We moved, and a lot has happened, and my role has changed completely. But my dear wife is continuing on at her role. She works pretty much full-time at Mullertown House still. She does all the food service work there, does four full weeks of cooking in the summertime, responsible for any of the catering on the weekends, all the food service, all the purchasing and ordering of that, of the food, and does housekeeping there, and really whatever else the director has for her to do, whether that's administrative stuff or whatever. Whatever she's asked to do, that's what she does. So she works very hard at the camp. So I want to say thank you, Joanna, for your hard work. As your boss, as your ministry director, I want to say thank you for your hard work. As your husband, I love you very much. Things have happened as well, too, over the past year. We've had a couple of our children move. They now live in Florida. They had a great couple of weeks these past few weeks with the storms. They've never experienced that before, so it's a bit exciting for them working through all of that there. So we have one child still at home. Poor Madison, my baby, 19 years old. You're probably thinking, you're too young to have a 19-year-old. I know, I'm really embarrassed when you say that. I was saying to Chris, you know, two things keep me young is I'm not a grandfather and I can still touch my toes. So it makes me feel young still that I have those things to fall back on. What's the vision for the future for BCM Northern Ireland? I had a board meeting just about, 2 weeks ago with my board of directors and just to begin to look at what the past year has been like and what is the vision for the future. And my board really looks at me for this kind of stuff, and I have to turn around and I have to look to God for this, you see, because my board's looking to me and say, where are we going? And I thought you knew where we were going. But they're looking at me and say, where are we going? And I turn around and I look up to God and say, God, where are we going in Northern Ireland? What is the direction? What's our vision for the future? And so the Lord gave me a couple things. And I challenged my board of directors with this. The last time we were home in furlough, we spoke in this church. And afterwards, I had a young couple come up to me and say, the Lord spoke to us, and we would like to consider going to Northern Ireland. And that was Nate and Rachel. And just a couple years later, there they are serving the Lord there. And I said to my board of directors, I'm going back on furlough, and I don't know if the Lord's going to do the same thing again, but what if we go back and there's somebody else who comes forward to say, I want to serve. Is there a place for me? And I said, what are we going to say? Let's have a plan. Is somebody getting the itch already? Huh? Right? What am I going to say? What am I going to tell people? And you know what? There is a plan. There's a wee place called Enniskillen. And it's not reached. A very small amount reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think we would love to put a couple in a place called Enniskillen. Look it up. And if the Lord speaks, right? If the Lord's speaking. Enniskillen. What do you want to do? Do you want to do Bible clubs? Do you want to do schoolwork? We have all kind of work in Enniskillen for a person. And that's the vision the Lord has given us in Northern Ireland. We would love to place another couple there in Enniskillen in Northern Ireland. Be praying about that. Maybe it won't come from here. Maybe it will. You don't know. But be praying that the Lord will provide someone else to do that work. God is doing so much. There's a lot to do there. And we can't do it all. Even with seven, we can't do it all. But we would like to do what we can. And over the years, the foundation of the work of BCM has been sort of stuck with Mullertown House. It's been a big thing. It's grown. I think we've had so much success with Mullertown House. Why is it that we think that we can only have one center? Could the Lord open up another place? Is that the vision for BCM Northern Ireland, that we would open up another center? And I challenge my board of directors for that. I'm putting this before you as a congregation to be praying for us, as we have a lot of big things to think about and discern God's leading in this. I feel really, really strongly about this, that God is going to bring more people and God is going to provide more resources. Maybe he's going to provide more people to be the new camp directors at a new center in Northern Ireland. Did you ever think of that? Wouldn't that be brilliant? And in 3 years' time, I could come back here and say, praise the Lord. Look how God has worked. That's our vision for the future for Northern Ireland. So when you pick up our prayer card off the table that's been knocked down in the back, thank you, James, take that prayer card and remember these things. Remember some of these things. Of course, continue to pray for Nate and Rachel. God's doing a lot, and you have a part in that. We're working on your behalf. We're God's ambassadors, but we also represent Calvary Bible Church. And we want to do our best. We want to do our best for the Lord. I have a little bit of time left, maybe 15 or so, 20 minutes. And I want to share something with you over these next few minutes. But I want to tell you a little bit about a passion I have. I love to cycle. Any cycle enthusiasts here? Anybody liked it? Don't all raise your hand at once. Whoa, there's one in the back. Thank you so much. There's a second one. See, they're all coming out now. Everybody wants. We've doubled our cycling enthusiasts. I love cycling. I have the cycle helmet. I have the cycling bike. I have the shoes. I have the glasses. I have the Lycra. I can prove it. In the last 5 years, I have cycled over 20,000 miles. Is that amazing? 20,000 miles. Every chance I get, I like to cycle. I do about between 400-500 miles a month cycling. And I love it. And what's the worst part? Here's how much of a nerd I am. When it's on TV, I watch it. How lame is that, right? Watching people cycle. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. You can't believe it. We have missionaries that watch cycling. That's how you're going to describe us. I enjoy it. You might even say it's a passion of mine. I have a passion for cycling. And you can't have a passion if you sit on the sidelines. You have to get involved. The passion means you have a keen interest, but your keen interest gets you involved to do it. And then you say, I'm passionate about that because I want to do it. Well, I want to talk to you about a greater passion. A greater passion. And my question this morning is, do you share this passion? And it's a passion for the lost. This is your mission week. And mission is all about passion. Missions is all about passion. It's a passion for the lost. And it's not all about going to Northern Ireland or to Russia or to Ukraine or China. It's about Stroudsburg. It's about Pennsylvania. It's about Kentucky. They are lost everywhere, all around us. And my question to you is, do you have a passion for the lost? How do you feel when you see and you know that someone does not know Jesus as their Savior? Do we really comprehend what that means for their eternity? Do you have a passion for the lost? God has this passion. God has this passion. God the Father has this passion. When he says that I desire, his desire is that none should perish. That's his passion. So much so that he put a plan into effect. Because it's not just about the idea of it. I have a keen interest in seeing people come to know me. He says, I've gotten actively involved in this, God said. His desire is that none should perish. And God the Son has this passion. Because why? What did he do? He said, I've come to seek and to save those that are lost. I've come to seek them out. Where are they? Bam, bam, bam. Move aside. There's one. There's one. There's one. Turn over that rock. Move that aside. There's someone else who needs Jesus. There's someone else who needs me, he said. And he came here to seek us out. And to see us saved. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. That's God's passion. What is your passion? What's your passion this morning? The passion Jesus has for the lost is so great that the Bible records three different times that he wept over the city of Jerusalem. To tears. He was moved to tears. Because he had a passion for the lost. I wish, as he looked down over the city, he says, I wish that they would understand who I am. I wish that they would acknowledge me as the Messiah. I wish they would come and know me. Because Jesus had a passion for the lost. What's your passion? Do you have that passion? I'm challenged because I think I want God to grow that passion in me. That I don't just see people. I see people. I want to see people who need Jesus. I want to be able to look out and say, that one needs Jesus. What am I going to do about it? The Bible tells us that Jesus is left with a commandment. He says, go into all the world. Go and make disciples. Because Jesus had that passion. He's looking out here today. Go and make disciples. What are you going to do about it? To your neighbors, to your friends, to your family, to your co-workers. Make disciples. That's not a wish you guys would do something. That's like, I want you to go and do this. What's your passion? Here's one for you. Paul had this passion. You think, well, okay, God had it, but he's God. And Jesus had it, but he's God as well. But Paul had it as well. Listen to this. Romans chapter 9, verse 3 says this, for I wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers. Paul said that. Do you comprehend what he's saying there? I'd be willing to cut myself off from Christ to know that others would come to him. That's some bold statement. I'm really challenged by that. Could I say that? Because he had a passion to see people saved. He had a passion to see people turn to God. He had a passion to see people saved from hell. What's your passion? Let me ask you this. What is a soul worth to you? Do you ever consider that? How much is a soul worth to you? What would you pay? What mountain would you climb? What river would you swim? What would you not do to see a loved one come to Christ? I'd give everything. I would give everything. That's what passion is all about. Because why? Because what we know is so much greater. Jesus was speaking in a bunch of parables, and he told a couple of parables to some guys, to his disciples, and he said, there's a guy who found this treasure in a field. And when he found that treasure, he buried it again. He went out and he invested everything he had. He went and he bought that field because he wanted the treasure. And there was a merchant who went and he found this pearl of great price. And he cashed in everything to get it because that pearl was priceless. It meant everything to him. And he was willing to sell everything he owned in order to get that pearl. Jesus is that pearl. Salvation is there. What would we pay for that? We're at the start of your missions week. Missions is all around us. Missions is outside that door. It's just outside that car park there. It's all around us. Do you have a passion to see people saved? Do you have a passion for the lost this morning? Challenge God with that question. Go before God. Get on your knees sometime today and say, God, give me that passion. Give me that passion as I work within the church. Give me that passion as I go off to school or university. Give me that passion when I'm speaking with my friends or my neighbors or my families that don't know you. Give me that passion to see people saved What greater thing could there be? Because we know what that pearl is worth. It's priceless. And once you get it, you don't want to give it up. The Bible tells us that once that merchant found that pearl, he stopped looking because he found the greatest thing you could ever find. I thought for sure I'd get an amen on that one. Amen. Amen. Jesus, the priceless pearl. Oh, but you're thinking, oh, this is too big. I can't accomplish this. There's no way. And I say, of course it's too big. And yes, there's no way you can accomplish that. But we have a God who does miracles. Amen. Woo! Now we're getting there, right? We have a God who does the impossible on a daily basis. Look at me. I stand before you a miracle that God was able to take me and save me. As he opened my eyes and I saw my need, I saw where I was, how wretched I was, and God reached down and he saved me. He says, I want to give you Jesus. That's a miracle. That was impossible, but God did the impossible. And I look out at people here and I'd say God did the impossible many, many times over in this room. We serve a God who does the impossible. He can do great things. I was talking with a guy, I can't even tell what day it was. I guess it was yesterday. When were we talking to John? Was that yesterday? What day is this? I was talking with a guy yesterday, and I was sort of saying, he says, well, what are you going to speak in the morning? So I said, well, here's what God's laid on my heart. And he came out and he said this to me. He said to me, if you can't save two, save one. I thought, well, that was brilliant. That was really good. If you can't save two, save one. And the point of that being, you do what you can, but you got to do something. But do something. Does that make sense? You do what you can, but please do something. Silver and gold have I none. My pockets are empty. But what I have, that's what I'm going to give you. The good news of Jesus Christ. I'm going to take this into all the world because this is what changed lives. This is what does it. So you say, well, I might not have a lot of money. I might not have the best car. I might not have the best house. I might not have all the time in the world. But what I do have, what time I have, what resources I have, what talents, what gifts, what abilities I have, I'm going to lay them at the feet of Jesus and say, take them and use them. Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, God, I'm going to give to you. Use them here in this church. There's a Awana Club. What a joy it would be to sit and listen to young people say verses. That's one thing I miss is a Awana Club. Because that's a foundation, isn't it? And I say to kids, we hide God's word in our heart. Why? So that we might not sin against him. That's how important it is. Can you do that? Can you sit and listen to verses? Sure you can. That's not too hard. You can listen to verses. And I'm sure there's probably a dozen other things where you can use your gifts and your talents to serve the Lord Jesus, to see people come to know him. If God's challenging you this morning with a passion for lost souls, this is a great place to start, right here. Allow God to grow that passion in you. It doesn't mean you're going to move to India next week or some other part of the world. You could do that right here. Allow God to grow that seed. If he's got something else for you, well, he's going to prepare you for it. But he's going to prepare you to do that right here, right now. Start with a Awana Club. Start with serving as a deacon. Start as an usher. I saw the things coming up there on the screen. There's a lot of things you can get involved in. And all that is part of seeing the lost come to Christ. Use what you have. That's our challenge. What's your passion this morning? Okay, I talked about selecting. That was a bit for fun. But our passion, our challenge as we stand before God is don't let that passion dry up in me, God. Don't let that passion dry up. Keep it fresh. Keep it alive. Keep it vibrant. So when I go out and whoever I come in contact with, I have a passion to see them come and know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Let me just pray. Father, thank you for our